Back in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia making his inaugural visit here on ESPN Rochester. Bucky Gleason, 1270 The Fan in Buffalo, the Bucky and Sully show every morning from 9 until noon. Bucky, how you been?
Fantastic, except it's like bleeding here right now. Just came out of nowhere.
You got the rain. We're going to have some snow. Don't worry, Bucky. I mean, day two of what feels like winter, and I'm already tired of it. I don't know about you.
No kidding. Hey, no, exactly. I'm ready to move tomorrow. I go through this every single year, especially in November, and then you have to get your brain around it, and that takes a while for me to do. And then I realize right around, I don't know, May 15th, why I love living here.
That's right.
It's all good.
Yeah, it's all good. Maybe this winter will be a little bit better with the Sabres playing competitive. Get the Sabres a little bit here. Bucky, the decision by Sean McDermott, if healthy, to go back to Josh Allen, in your opinion, is this the right move?
It was the right move. I was surprised that he announced it so early. Look, the Bills, they have six games left. This season's going nowhere. You can't honestly believe that they have invest any future really whatsoever in Matt Barkley. I know that Matt Barkley played well against the Jets, 15-22 for 232 yards, two touchdowns. I mean, the numbers just roll off your tongue, right? But the fact of the matter is, I think probably anybody that's on this phone call or listening to your show probably could have beat the Jets on Sunday. The Jets were really, really bad. The Bills played a great game. I want to give them credit. But I don't think it was so much about the quarterback. I think it was so much about what was going on in New York as much as anything else. And, hey, it helps a little bit, right, when you control the offensive line and defensive line in the game, and you know you have a couple of turnovers, and you know you find a guy that he did hit on a pass early in the game, and LeSean McCoy actually scored a touchdown. So there are a lot of factors that went into that win, and I don't know how the people in Rochester have reacted to it. I would imagine it's similar to here, where you know you don't want to get too excited, but people still get excited nonetheless.
Yeah, totally. Why would you apologize for being excited over a win? I mean, 41-10 is a thorough beatdown. They're a divisional opponent, and we are talking about Josh Allen. I'm more curious now about what the future looks like as far as who he's going to throw to, some of these weapons, and we've seen some movement with the wide receiving core this week, Bucky. You know, what do we think about the move to release Terrell Pryor? I think they might have released the wrong wide receiver, and the move to also bring back Deontay Thompson shortly after getting rid of Nathan Peterman. I don't know that the two of those guys could have existed in the same locker room.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. Terrell Pryor is telling everybody, you know, he's a baller when he first comes in here. He's a baller for, what, about 15 minutes, and then he was gone.
Yeah.
You know, there's a reason he was on six or seven different teams before he came to Buffalo. And I think that one of the reasons is that, you know, he has problems getting separation. He has problems catching the ball. You know, he had a pass that Nathan Peterman threw to him that bounced right in the middle of his chest, bounced into the air, and that was an interception. So, you know, not all those picks were on Peterman. He became kind of a national punchline and a bit of a laughingstock because he just kept throwing interception after interception. But they weren't all on him. So, you know, having said that, you know, where is this wide receiver core going? That's a really good question. I think it's probably been their biggest weakness, in my opinion, on this team. And that's saying a lot. I mean, the offensive line had problems. You know that. Quarterback, there have been issues all year. It started with Peterman, went to Josh Allen. You know, he got off to a good start and then wasn't playing well. And then, you know, now you're down to Derek Anderson and you're playing Matt Barkley. I mean, the whole thing is just crazy. But when you look at the wide receiver core, you know, these guys are healthy and they haven't performed well. And, you know, when you're saying that, yeah, you might have released somebody else, I would assume that you might be thinking of Kelvin Benjamin in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And Kelvin Benjamin has really had problems. And, you know, I don't see a reason to keep him on the roster other than this. They have to keep him because they need that compensatory pick. He's going to be signing elsewhere after this season. I don't think he's going to be here. And I think, really, that's the primary reason that he's still on this roster, because he really hasn't shown anything to me that he's at all interested in playing for this team and in this city.
Well, Bucky, if culture and work ethic and character are all these, you know, cornerstones of what they're trying to build, shouldn't you send a message to the rest of your team by making him inactive at least? I mean, his effort has been putrid.
Absolutely. I am with you 100% all the way. And, you know, we've been talking about that all week, if not for the past month, on our show in the morning. And that's basically what we've come up with, too. You know, look, you have to keep him on the roster. That's fine. But you don't have to play him. And, you know, that led to a discussion this morning. And, you know, we can have it now. Is that why Deontay Thompson is here? Is he a guy that you can bring in? You knew him from last year. He played pretty well for the Bills last season. If you remember, he had a big catch in the snow game. He put together a couple of good games before Dallas offered him more money. I think Buffalo wanted to keep him. They just didn't like the price tag. And so when you look at a guy like Deontay Thompson, are you bringing him in for character reasons, right? Here's a guy that's going to come in, and maybe he can show some of these younger guys, you know, how to play the game a little bit, how to carry yourself, how to approach practice. And, you know, most of these guys, I think they should know it, or they do know it by now. It's always good to have a 28 or a 29-year-old guy who's been around the league a little while to come in and show you how to get that done and lead by example. Deontay Thompson, at the very least, I think is going to do that a hell of a lot more than Kelvin Benjamin ever did.
Bucky Gleason, co-host of the Bucky and Sully Show, 1270 The Fan, our guest here in the Sports Bar, 95.7 ESPN. But with the remainder of the schedule, four of the last six at home, some winnable games, I just fear this heroic run, the 6-10 or 7-9, that really doesn't get you anything. Bucky, I can respect the fact that they don't want to tank, but are they hurting themselves in the end? Because you could get one of these top blue chip defensive players in the top five, perhaps, and really make this defense special. And I don't know where you get picking the mid rounds every year.
It's like an echo between Rochester and Buffalo with this, right? I mean, that's all we know, it seems. You know, you go back pretty much since the turn of the century, and you know they have had three seasons. Where they didn't finish somewhere between 6-10 and 9-7. And what you're talking about is just like this everlasting spot in mediocrity. And it gets you nowhere. The other three seasons, by the way, they were worse than 6-10. So, yeah, I mean, it's a real problem. It's the one thing that you have, I think, if you're a Bills fan, you know, if they're going to go in the crapper all year long, then might as well do it right, right? So, you know, you almost don't want to see them beat a team like the Jets. The Jets is a primary example of a team that they're going to be going against. There's all kinds of cap room that's going to be available to both teams. The last thing you need is the Jets being able to pick in front of you, not just in the first round, but every round. So that's something I think that they would rather avoid, but they've come straight out and said, hey, we are not throwing the season away. We are not tanking. You know, they're going to stick to the spirit of competition and say that they're going to try and win every Sunday. And in fact, if they were, then Nathan Peterman probably would be starting the last six games. And so the fact that they want to get Josh Allen back in there, you know, look, this kid needs reps. And if they happen to win those games, I think they're just going to say, well, you've learned how to win. I mean, you can spin it any way you want. But, you know, this kid needs to develop, and they still need to find out whether or not he can become a true franchise quarterback. That's a question that I think might linger for a while. You might not know the answer to that. Not just next year, but it might be the year after that. It could be a couple of years before you really, really know whether or not this guy is a quarterback who's capable of playing in the NFL or if he's a guy that can actually lead you somewhere big. And that's what they need to find out. Where they finish, if you're a Bills fan, you're quietly hoping that they lose every game. And while at the same time on Sunday, you're probably cheering them on when they score a touchdown. It's crazy.
You can read his work at footballmaven.com. Bucky Gleason joining us in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Bucky, we don't want to overreact to one game, but let's overreact to one game. What took so long with Wyatt Teller? I mean, you watch this guy under the jeweler's eye starting a training camp and a preseason and the beginning of this year. What about Wyatt Teller's game did they not see early in the year that they saw all of a sudden? And was it just because it was against a poor Jets team that Wyatt Teller looked as good as he looked on Sunday?
He did look good, right? I mean, it's one of those things where you're keeping an eye on a guy because he's new and you want to see how he fares, and he's a young guy, and they took him in a draft. And there have been questions all year long about why that guy wasn't in there on the offensive line. And so, you know, it raises a question. Was he ready? Was he not ready to play in the NFL? Was he not in the proper condition? I don't know. You know, the funny thing is you go through training camp and everybody kind of looks the same along the O-line. And this year, everybody looked the same. It was bad. So, and it showed that the first couple of games, I thought, well, you're going to have a bad offensive line. Why don't you get this kid in the game? And you can be bad with him or without him. And at least maybe you'll be developing him the way that you are Tremaine Edmonds and Josh Allen and some of these other guys that they want to develop. So it is an interesting question. I thought he came in and played pretty well. I don't know if it was a matter of, you know, you had other guys that were playing better than he was where you couldn't slide him in there to get him some more reps, or if, in fact, he just wasn't ready for the speed of the NFL or what. But you know, obviously they took their time with him. They got him in, and I thought he looked pretty good. So I think you're going to see a lot more of him, too, going down the stretch.
Bucky Gleason, 1270 The Fan in Buffalo, our guest here in the Sports Bar, 95.7 ESPN. Bucky, we haven't talked this season. I want to get your thoughts on LeSean McCoy. Frankly, I was surprised that he didn't get dealt, but I understand if the value wasn't there. But I'm curious of their decision to keep a guy here. At least they say they will. That's going to be 31 by the time the next year rolls around. And I don't trust him. I don't trust his character. I'm just curious to get your thoughts on the decision for the Buffalo Bills to still keep this guy in the plans moving forward.
Boy, you came to the right place for that, I'll tell you. You know, you go back when McCoy got in trouble with the Philly cops there. I was working for the Buffalo News still at the time, and I wrote a column basically and just got killed for it in Buffalo, saying, look, if there's an out in his contract, you might want to exercise that out. And one of the problems that I had at the time was that McCoy signed, if you remember, he signed that 5-year, $40 million deal. Now, you don't have to pay running back 8, 9, 10. I mean, you look at Le'Veon Bell, you know, turning down $14.5 million after they slapped the franchise tag on him. I mean, it's just not necessary in today's NFL to be paying a guy that much. Now, McCoy played really well for them. You know, he kind of made me eat my words a little bit because he was outstanding for a couple of years, but you always knew that you were going to get to this point where he was going to be turning 30 and he was going to still have time left on his contract. And then another year, next year at 31, I believe it's at $9 million. Mm-hmm. And that's an awful lot of money for a guy that hasn't been very productive. You talk about some of the things and the issues that he's had off the field. I mean, you know, where do you begin? Do you want to talk about, you know, the woman that he supposedly threw off a bus in Philly? I mean, or you want to talk about the weird party that he had where he wanted these women to sign non-disclosure agreements? I mean, the whole thing is really bizarre. Not to mention the fact that he now has his ex-girlfriend and the mother of his child on the same team, and yet another, you know, legal mess that he's in down in Atlanta. So, you know, there's character issues, and now there's performance issues. I think that they could get past the character issues if he was performing on the field. Now he's not really performing on the field. Look, he had 24 yards on 24 carries in a 3-game stretch before he busted out against the Jets. And, you know, you're going to need a heck of a lot more consistency. Now, here's the interesting thing I think about LeSean McCoy, and that is if they're going to keep him past the trade deadline this year, then they are putting, in effect, they are putting more pressure on their own team to win next year. In other words, you should expect immediate results, because otherwise you would have been planning for the future. You would have taken that, you know, whatever it was. I would like to know if they had an offer, what the offer was. You know, anything to me, if you were able to get a 4th-round pick for that guy, you would have jumped at that, maybe a 5th-rounder, you still would have been tempted to take that, just given all the issues that he's had and the contract that he has. So to me, it's like, okay, they're going to keep him. They want to use him for next year. Then now you need to win. You need to win with him, because you had an opportunity. Philly was kicking the tires with him. Everybody knows that. You know, I would have, if I was Brandon Bean, I would have been chopping him all over the league to see if I could get rid of him. And I think actually LeSean McCoy would have been open to that.
I have a feeling it was that third that Philly ended up giving up for Golden Tate that was probably what the Bills were trying to get and weren't going to get it from Philly, because they value the player a little bit differently than Buffalo values the player. We're talking about Bucky Gleason, footballmaven.com, 1270 The Fan in Buffalo, the Bucky and Sully Show every morning from 9 until noon. You brought up Le'Veon Bell. I don't think the Bills are going to get Le'Veon Bell. I don't think they should go after Le'Veon Bell. You and I park our cars in the same garage when you say you don't have to pay for that kind of production at that position. And I think smart teams understand positional value. That's why you never see the Patriots going out and overspending for a running back. But the team that does get Le'Veon Bell eventually will overpay for him in an effort to make their team relevant, because they have the cap space to do it. There's a lot of boxes that the Bills check when you talk about teams that could be in play for Le'Veon Bell. Please talk me off the ledge and tell me there's no way that Le'Veon Bell is playing for the Buffalo Bills next season.
I don't think there's any way that Le'Veon Bell is playing for the Buffalo Bills next season. I just don't see it, because, you know, the thought of that, it lacks common sense. You take common sense and you just chuck it out the window when you start making decisions like that. Look, they have a lot of room and a lot of money that they're going to spend. And in fact, I don't even think that they'll be able to spend it all, which is good, because they're going to have some contracts that are coming up. They're going to need some cap space in the future when you get into the Trey White situation and other players that they're going to have on their team. So, no, I can't imagine them getting into the Le'Veon Bell sweepstakes just on common sense alone. I mean, it's crazy money, $14.5 million that he turned down. You know, he says he did it for the players that are going to come after him. And, you know, we could talk about the franchise tag. That's probably a conversation for a different show in about 4 hours, too, by the way.
Yeah.
But, you know, he made his decision. Now other teams are going to have to make their decision about him if, in fact, he does hit the open market. That just seems like an awful lot of money for me for any running back. I don't care who it is.
You know, if Russ Brandon was still there, I'd have to say that now that Brandon Bean is in charge, does Terry Pegula have any influence? Because if it's Brandon Bean calling the shots himself, I truly believe, yeah, no, we're not going to go down this road. But I'm wondering if, I'll bring this example. If you bring the baseball analogy here, when Scott Boras is shopping around Bryce Harper, he's not talking to the GM, he's talking to the owner, and I don't think the agent for Le'Veon Bell has any juice, but I'm just wondering, does Terry Pegula take that call, or does he dish it off to his GM?
I think he dishes it off to his GM and his coach. And, you know, when you're talking about the power structure there, you were looking up at Terry Pegula, and I was thinking that you might want to look down a little bit at Sean McDermott. Look, you have to remember that Sean McDermott, he was the most empowered coach in the history of this organization before he even coached a game. If you go back to Brandon Bean's news conference when he was first hired, I believe it was in May of 2017, then you'll hear Terry Pegula say that Sean McDermott was going to have final call, final say on who's going to be on that roster. So I don't think that Sean McDermott's getting in the middle of money issues. And in fact, even if you're talking about Brandon Bean, he might be looking at certain contracts, but everybody, they all have financial guys that figure out that stuff and how it works against the cap. I think that it's more in Bean and McDermott's hands than it would be in Terry Pegula's hands. If Terry Pegula is smart, he'll just keep his hands off the roster and let his people do their work. You know, in other words, stay in your lane. What's the Patriots' mantra? Do your job. Mm-hmm. And it was Bill Belichick, you know, one of the greatest coaches ever, if not the greatest coach, perhaps in any sport, who often said, you know, the minute that an owner starts getting involved in player decisions is the minute that he needs to hit the road. So, and in fact, you're starting to see that a little bit in New England, where Robert Kraft is kind of dipping his toes into some dangerous waters there when you're talking about personnel. And I don't know. I think it's really dangerous for an owner to get involved in stuff like that. You might want to go to him for a final okay, but I don't think that the owner, I don't think his job should be going out, taking calls from agents and saying, yeah, we want your guy. That's not for him to evaluate. For him, what he should be evaluating is whether or not he has the right people in the proper places in, on his management team so they can do their job. And if they're not doing their job, well, then you go find other people who can do that job for you on your management team. But this operation is not going to work if he's involved.
We're talking about Bucky Gleason in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. You mentioned the power that Sean McDermott has. We were having some fun earlier this afternoon in the Sports Bar talking about a Bleacher Report podcast, the Sims and Lefko podcast, that actually made a case for Sean McDermott to be the coach of the year in the NFL.
What year?
Right. It seems ridiculous, but they made a case based on the adversities. And you know, you're making a case based on how much power this guy does have within this organization. I can't see making a guy that thought Nate Peterman week one is your quarterback starter is a guy that should be the NFL coach of the year. But what would that look like if Sean, you know, is it as simple as if he were to win out the rest of the season and turn what looked like a lost season into 500. Is Sean McDermott the NFL's coach of the year?
I don't think so. And I think it goes back to the reasons that you just gave. Look, if you want to make him coach of the year last year for helping this team get into the playoffs, you know, you look at some of the work that he did. They were rebuilding a roster and trying to win on the fly. I would have said, I'm all for it. I probably would have voted for the guy because I thought he did a fantastic job last year. But when you go into the season, and it starts with, you know, he's going to have a quarterback battle, and that's fine. But when your quarterback battle is won by a guy who can't play quarterback, in this case, Nathan Peterman, you know, Sean McDermott wanted to find out whether or not he could play, and what he really needed to do was find somebody that he knew could play. And that was the big problem that he had. I mean, even if you go back and you look at the three quarterbacks with Peterman and, you know, obviously the rookie Josh Allen, 7th pick overall, you know, presumptive franchise quarterback, and then you have A.J. McCarron, none of them really had all that much experience. And so he left the door wide open. McCarron didn't take that job. He ended up getting hurt, if you remember, in preseason and then coming back and played well in the finale. It was Nathan Peterman who ended up having the highest completion percentage and really looked the most steady. So McDermott does what he said he was going to do. He's going to play the guy that won the quarterback battle. And that's exactly what happened. But it just backfired miserably, just like it did last year against the Chargers when he put Peterman in, you know, the second half of the season while these guys were in contention, and he has to start against the Chargers on the road, tough game, and the whole thing blows up in his face. So that was a problem. I think he grossly underestimated or overestimated, I should say, what he had at the wide receiver position. He didn't have the pieces in place. Now, some of the things were not his fault. You have two guys leave the offensive line, and Richie Incognito and Eric Wood, and obviously you're going to be affected by that. But, you know, this team wasn't ready to play offense in the beginning of the season. I will give them credit for having an outstanding defense. The Bills, I believe, right now are ranked first in the league in terms of yards allowed.
Yeah. But
you go back and you look at the stats, you know, the top four teams that are ranked 1, 2, 3, 4 in yards allowed, their record is like 16-21 or something like that. So it doesn't add up to a whole lot. What really adds up is points and points per game. And, you know, it just goes back to the beginning of the season. There were so many problems at the start of the season that, you know, you can't go that far with Sean McDermott. I'm sorry. I'll give him credit for this, though, too, if you don't mind me, you know, blabbing on a little bit longer than I already have. And that is that McDermott has a unique ability, I think, that when all things look like they are about to fall off a cliff and blow up and then start on fire, he seems to be able to rally these guys together. You go back and look at that Minnesota game after the first two games they played this year, and, you know, they go in there and trounce them. You know, they're coming in and they have a 4-game losing streak. You know, the season's going to hell this year, and they go out and blow out the Jets. So I'll give him credit for keeping the attention of his team, you know, under circumstances that are not easy for anybody. So he's done a good job there.
Yeah.
Book of the year? No.
Not only that, though, Bucky, and I've said this a bunch of times as well, I mean, you know, he doesn't give us anything. He doesn't give us great sound. But what he does do is he acts presidential. He's measured. He's calculating. And he is even keel. And you don't see him freaking out. I mean, you see it in the college ranks. And you see it from time to time in the pro ranks where these head coaches, they just lose their cool or they don't know how to answer a question or they're caught off guard by something. I don't know that I have many of those instances with Sean McDermott on record.
No, and you know what? Like, look, he went to the Andy Reid School of Coaching, and part of the Andy Reid School of Coaching is don't say anything. You know, Andy Reid never really says much either, although he has a pretty good sense of humor. McDermott told me that himself. I've seen McDermott behind the scenes, and he actually has a very good personality, but he just doesn't want to reveal that when he's standing behind a microphone. That's his choice. But let me say this about Sean McDermott. There are questions sometimes down there at One Bills Drive, and he is giving you answers if you're listening closely enough. He is giving you little hints from time to time about what he thinks is right and which direction his team is going in. And I think that if you're listening sometimes, you know, it sounds like boring. Sometimes I think reporters and fans or whoever, they just kind of turn off their ears sometimes when Sean McDermott's talking. If they listen a little bit better, then they might have a couple of those answers, but only a couple. He doesn't give up much. But if you're listening intently all the time, you might get a nugget here or there.
Bucky Gleason, who you can catch 9 to noon weekdays on 1270 The Fan in Buffalo. Before we let go, I got to get your thoughts on the Sabres and specifically Skinner. This is fun watching this team, Bucky. I'm sure you'll agree. Skinner, do you pay the guy or not? And I come down on it like this because I look at what Skinner's doing right now and I give a lot of credit to the guy that's centering that line. And I'm thinking what Skinner's going to command on the open market, Bucky, can the Buffalo Sabres afford somebody like that?
That is probably an $8 or $9 million question, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he's got to be somewhere around there. Jack Eichel is making $10 million a year. Skinner is making $6 million. You have to be thinking that it's going to be somewhere in that $8-9 million range. Look, he's off in terms of goals. There's never been a player in Buffalo Sabres history that had 13 goals in his first 18 games. It's never happened. Now, first game, first season with the Sabres. Okay, I want to make sure that that's clear. You know, as a newbie, he comes in and scores 13 goals in 18 games. Now, Pat LaFontaine had 12, and then he went off on some crazy tear where he had, like, another 8 more in his next 6 games or something like that in his first year in Buffalo. So he's off to a fantastic start. You talk about Eichel. Eichel has assists on 8 of Skinner's 13 goals this season. That's a big reason why he's scoring him. And another reason is that Jack Eichel, he's going to draw attention to him. So if you're playing on a line with him, he's going to open up the ice for you if you're Jeff Skinner. And Jeff Skinner is a very good skater, and he's got nice soft hands. He knows what to do with the puck, and he knows where to go. And Eichel has, you know, the gift of being able to find him and get the puck on a stick, or at least get it up and around the net where Skinner can take a chance at it. You saw the goal that he had the other day. when they beat Tampa Bay, and that was just a Sam Reinhart shot. Skinner's hanging around the net. He gets a nice, easy backhander there to get the Sabres on the board. So he's a very good player. Over his career, you know, he's had a couple of good starts in his career, and usually he's somewhere in that 30-goal range. You know, he has three 30-goal seasons under his belt. He averages 28.6 goals for every 82 games that he's played. So that's how I think you have to look at him. He's going to score between 25 and 32 goals a year. And are you willing to pay somebody that much money, $8 million? Well, you are right now because he's got 13 goals in 18 games. Are you, you know, when you're in game 60, game 75, is he going to be able to maintain that pace? I don't think so. I mean, you're talking about 59 goals. So you're not, certainly shouldn't expect that. But say he gets up to 40, how much is a 40-goal scorer worth to you when he's done it once in his career? That's the decision that Jason Botterill is going to have to make. And I'm glad that he's making it, and I'm not, because that's going to be a tough one.
Bucky, you've been awesome with your time this afternoon. I want to make sure you have a little bit of time before we let you go. Let everybody know where they can read, see, and hear more of your work.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot. I appreciate that. You know, you can catch us, first of all, if you're in Rochester and the signal doesn't go that far, you can go to sportsradio1270.com. You can listen to us every morning from 9 until noon. You know, we're on the AM station here. We're picking up speed. We've only been on. We started the show, I think, in September, just going into the first week of the season, and we've, you know, gained a following, so that's been a lot of fun. And if you go to BuckySully.com, that'll take you over to the Buffalo Maven. I've heard that people, you know, they're just not familiar with the Maven, and that's fine. So we created a redirect that'll just take you right there, BuckySully.com, and you can see all of our work there. Sully, you know, his hair's on fire half the time. If you know him at all, you know, you want to listen to him. He's good for a rant about every 6 minutes on the radio, which is hilarious. I have to basically harness him, if not strap him to the chair sometimes. And then and people around Buffalo, they know him in print. So he tells it like it is. He's great to have on my side as my partner here. And we're having a lot of fun with it.
Well, Bucky, you tell it like it is, too. Bucky Gleason, really appreciate the time. That was a lot of fun. You have yourself a good night.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
You got it. Bucky Gleason. Bucky and Sully Show, 1270 The Fan in Buffalo. Great stuff. Man, that was good. It was really good having him on. Can't wait to do that again. If you missed that or if you came in late, we'll have it for you on demand shortly at ESPNRochester.com. You can download it, listen to it in your own time. We know how busy you are. That was a really good conversation with Bucky Gleason, formerly of the Buffalo News. Let's get to NFL appetizers next in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. We'll serve up the day's top NFL stories in bite-sized form. NFL appetizers brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place. Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com.
Yeah, so we have some Steelers news, a follow-up on that game getting moved to L.A. this week, and more games getting flexed. Lots to get to here.
All right, NFL appetizers next on AM 950 and 95.7 FM, ESPN Rochester.
It's time to light up the holiday season. Pack the kids and head to the Dome Arena on Calkins Road in Henrietta. Sing along to the holiday hits as you drive through the brand new Rochester Festival of Lights and North Pole Village to benefit the Salvation Army. When the sun goes down, the lights come on. Wind your way through over a mile of bright, dazzling lights and festive holiday-themed displays. It's a great way to make new family memories together. And there's more. This is an outdoor indoor experience. Park the car and head into the dome for the special indoor light show and take a stroll through the North Pole Village where the kids can meet Santa. Take scenic family holiday photos, decorate stockings and cookies, jump around the bounce houses and more. Open every Friday, Saturday and Sunday night in December. The Rochester Festival of Lights and North Pole Village is sponsored by Victor Chevrolet, located in the heart of Victor, find new roads, and by MVP Healthcare. More convenient, more supportive, more personal. Don't pay full price at the gate. Get advanced discount tickets now at GetMyPerks.com or Wegmans. Find details on Facebook or at RochesterFestivalOfLights.com.